So here's the thing. You are probably already a role model, whether you want to be one or not. You might be a role model to your children, your nephews or your nieces, your friends, people at your church. And if you are known as a Christian in your workplace, then you are most definitely already a role model, because there's always someone watching you. There's always someone watching how you live, and you are always setting an example to someone by how you conduct yourself, for good or for bad. People are watching you to see if that profession of faith as a Christian is actually making any difference to how you live and how you are at work. So how is it for you in the workplace? As a Christian, what sort of role model are you at work? What characteristics should you be developing so you can be a good Christian role model at work? And where on earth in the Bible can we get some good teaching on this? Welcome to the Faith in a Busy World podcast with me, Steve Griffiths. So here's where we're heading in this podcast. Firstly, I want to explore the importance of role modeling in the workplace as a Christian. And then secondly, I want to outline five characteristics that you should be aiming to develop so that you can become a good Christian role model at work. And then thirdly, we're going to look at a really good example from the New Testament about developing good personal habits as a Christian role model. So firstly, what is a role model and why are they important? Well, if we're looking for a definition, we can say a role model is someone whose attitudes and values and behaviors are worthy of imitation. Role models are a hugely important part of our human development. It's in our DNA, of course, from birth through to death. We are constantly watching others and assessing our environment and learning how to be, how to become a better person. We learn by example, and who we choose as our role models is really important. In the workplace, there's a very interesting relationship between role modeling and leadership. Now, not all leaders are role models, and not all role models are leaders, but there is a relationship between the two, because role modeling can be a soft skill. Organizational leaders in the workplace use influence and knowledge and skills and positional power to direct the activities of others in pursuit of a common goal. Now, how organizational leaders achieve that can be worthy of a role model, but sometimes it isn't. I've certainly worked for people in the past whose approach to success in the workplace has been damaging to the mental health of their employees, and whose attitude has been far from positive. They may have led, they may have got results, but they certainly weren't a role model. And conversely, some people at work may not be leaders in the organizational sense, but they are certainly role models in how they deal with problems, their positivity, their integrity, and their honesty. And in some ways, these role models are more powerful leaders in the workplace than the hierarchical leaders over the team. Role model leadership style differs from the traditional transactional style of leadership. The classic transactional style of leadership embodies loyalty and certainly production. Now, role models can do that, but more often they are acting out of a set of soft skills, integrating leadership with emotional intelligence. Being a role model at work is more about values than hierarchy. Role models provide a source of inspiration. We look up to them. We aspire to be like them. They challenge us to become a person that we never thought we could be. And as a Christian, you embody a value system that is founded on the idea that we are in the process of becoming, being changed from glory into glory. And when your work colleagues look at how you behave, how you respond to crisis, how you interact with authority, how you pursue your business goals, do they see a good role model? Do your work colleagues aspire to be like you and to be transformed as they see your relationship with God transforming you? Well, to have that sort of impact, we need to embody certain characteristics that make us worthy of being role models. And here's five to think about. First, a good role model is self-aware. Self-awareness is at the heart of a healthy spirituality, whether it's the tax collector in Luke 18, verse 13, who simply prayed, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, or whether it's Paul in Philippians 4, 13, who said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We need to be aware of our strengths and our weaknesses and have the ability to reflect honestly on our behavior and how it impacts other people. Being a good role model means being able to manage our emotions, to align what we do with the faith that we profess, and being true to who God has made us to be. Second, a good role model is humble. If we want to be a good role model, we need to develop humility. And that in part is about being always willing to learn, being willing to let others around you flourish, to give credit where credit is due, and to bring others along with you in the process. Now, for me, one of the most beautiful examples of humility in scripture is when John the Baptist in John 3:30 says of Jesus, he must become greater and I must become less. Isn't that beautiful? Can we embody that depth of humility in our own lives? If we can, then we will become excellent spiritual role models. Third, a good role model has empathy. Now, empathy is having the ability to understand and share the feelings of other people. The life of Jesus was a life of empathy. The fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us is the greatest act of empathy in history. The death of Jesus on the cross was an extraordinary act of empathy, as Jesus took our sins onto himself and stood where we should have stood. And every moment between his birth and death was empathy incarnated. And if we want to model Christ in our lives, we need to develop deep empathy, to listen to others and connect with them, to understand the emotional needs of those around us, to walk beside them in their joys and in their sorrows. To be that empathetic is to walk in the footprints of Jesus. Now, it's not always easy to do that in the workplace. Ultimately, we are there to work and we don't always have the time, and it's not always appropriate to share deeply with our colleagues or encourage deep sharing from them. But we are intuitive creatures and we can sense where people are at on any given day. So empathy is not impossible in the workplace. In fact, empathy is crucial for us if we want to create a positive work environment in which everyone can perform to their best potential. Fourth, a good role model has positivity. Now, we can't be cheerful all the time, especially at work, but positivity isn't about being the joker in the office who always has a smile on their face. Positivity is about finding opportunities in difficult situations, and it's such an important characteristic for a role model to embody. If you can model hope when those around you are feeling despair, then you are exactly the type of role model that every team needs. And Paul embodied that in his own life and ministry. In the midst of all his suffering, all the difficulties that he had to face in his ministry, he was still able to say in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Doesn't get much more positive than that. Fifth, a good role model embodies professionalism. How often do we see unprofessional behavior at work? Criticizing the boss behind their back at coffee break, helping ourselves to the odd ream or two of paper, making shortcuts in the work, turning up late, leaving early. Behaving in a professional manner is one of the best ways to become an effective Christian role model at work. Remember, people are watching you to see whether your behavior matches your profession of faith. Now, Paul has a lot to say about this. For example, in Ephesians 6, verse 5, servants, obey your earthly masters. Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. The fact that Paul sent back the runaway slave Onesimus to his master Philemon, and so on. If you want to be a good role model at work, hold your work and yourself to an excellent standard. Act out of honesty, integrity, and respect for others. In that way, you will reflect Christ in the workplace. So we've laid some foundations now, the importance of being a role model at work, five characteristics you need to exhibit if you want to be effective for Christ in that way. But where do we go in Scripture for some solid teaching on how to be a role model? Well, 3 John is the place to go, one of those really short letters tucked away at the back of the New Testament. Now, it was probably written by the Apostle John round about AD 90 while he was on exile on the island of Patmos. It was certainly towards the end of his life, and he was writing a letter to Gaius, a leader of churches in Asia Minor that is now Turkey. And the churches in Asia Minor at the time were in trouble because someone had come along who was acting as a poor role model, and he was leading people astray in the faith. And John talks about 3 people in this letter. Now, 2 of them are really good role models, but one of them wasn't. So let's look at what John teaches us here about how to be a good role model. Firstly, John talks about Gaius in verses 1 to 8. Now, we don't know anything about Gaius except what's written here, but whoever this Gaius was, John obviously had a great love for him. The greeting in verse 1 is really lovely. John says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth." That's nice, isn't it? And then John was concerned for Gaius in every aspect of his life. Now, this is really important for us today. In verse 2, John writes, "I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul." Now, John is modeling something really important here about how God loves us in body, mind, and spirit. He's not only concerned for our eternal salvation, he shows concern for every aspect of our lives, our work, who we are as individuals, our health. And if we are to model the love of God to others in the workplace, we need to care for the whole person too, to relate to our work colleagues and our employees as more than just commodities for production, but as complex human beings with complex needs. And Gaius's own life reflects that as well, because in the next few verses, we're told of Gaius's commitment to Christian missionaries, that he would care for them physically, offering them hospitality and food and money for their journeys, but also receiving them, as it says in verse 8, as co-workers in the truth, meeting them on a spiritual level too. So the example of Gaius is that the wholeness of Christian love focuses on the whole person. And so we are to relate to others in the workplace as whole people if we are going to be impactful as Christian role models. And John then moves on to talk about Diotrephes in verses 9 and 10. Now, this man is a completely different kettle of fish altogether, because Diotrephes is a man of unhelpful spiritual habits. If John was the bishop, then Diotrephes may have been a church warden or a chief elder or something like that. And his problem, according to John, was his arrogance. In verse 9, John tells us that Diotrephes loves to be first. He loved to be considered the most important person of all. And at the heart of Diotrephes' attitude, it seems, is that he thought he was always right, that he was doctrinally pure, and that everyone else was a heretic. So his way of dealing with people was to refuse to let them into his church. He didn't want other preachers to come because their sermons wouldn't be doctrinally correct. He didn't want to be in fellowship with any other churches because those churches might contaminate his church. He didn't want to welcome Christians into his home because they weren't as pure as he was. And in verse 9, we're told that he even banned Bishop John from visiting the church. Now, we might know people like that in the workplace, people who are constantly trying to show others how important they are, how wise they are, how learned they are, and how much authority that they have. So how does John comment on Diotrephes' actions? Well, in verse 11, he says simply, "Do not imitate what is evil." In pursuit of respect, Diotrephes was undermining others and causing division and bad feeling. And if we are to be effective Christian role models at work, we cannot be like Diotrephes. We have to model through humility and empathy. And then finally, John calls on the example of Demetrius in verses 11 to 14, who was a wonderful Christian man who had John's total respect. Now, we don't really know who Demetrius was. It's possible, actually, that he was the same man we read of in Acts chapter 19, the man who had made shrines in Artemis and had cut short Paul's ministry there. Well, if it is that same Demetrius and he had been converted, what a wonderful testimony to the power of God. One thing that is fairly likely, though, from the way this letter is phrased, is that Demetrius was probably the person who brought John's letter to the church. Now, whether it was him or not, the one thing we do know about Demetrius is that his lifestyle was a wonderful example of Christian living. The way he lived his life spoke volumes about his faith. As John says in verse 12, everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius. He was renowned for his holiness. And John sets him up in contrast to the arrogant Diotrephes. Now, we all know the well-known phrase, actions speak louder than words. And that was true for both Diotrephes and Demetrius. But only one of them had the respect of the people, and only one of them had the respect of Bishop John. We are all role models, for good or for bad. And it's especially important for us as Christians to be positive role models in the workplace. What your colleagues or your employees see of you is what they see of Christ. How you behave at work, the extent to which you embody humility, empathy, positivity, professionalism, and self-awareness is the extent to which your faith values will be seen as the guiding light in your life. Now, it's not about being perfect all the time. That's not possible for any of us. But the closer we draw to God in our own lives, the more the fruit of the Spirit will be exhibited in our work relationships and our practices. Thanks for being with me today. I hope you found it useful, and I look forward to being with you again soon. Bye-bye.